Dear American citizen, my fellow Americans, you've done it. You live in the richest, freest, most entertained society in human history. You did it. Yet you're exhausted, you're furious, you're convinced the end is near, even though you have the capacity and exercise the capacity frequently to summon dinner immediately, to get a date, to dispense dopamine, to flood your entire body with dopamine in just a couple of minutes. Yet, the national pastime has moved from baseball to doom scrolling. Your ancestors got on rickety tiny boats and crossed oceans. Oceans. Can you imagine for this opportunity? You, when you're forced to get up from the couch to grab the remote, you think about that as a journey. What a sad state of affairs. And I am going to be speaking to you from personal experience in doing all of these things. Far be it for me to say that I am perfect, because I am not. But I am one of your card-carrying fellow American citizens, guilty of the same habits, sitting in the same traffic, staring at the same glowing rectangles that you do. So, it's more of a familial intervention than it is a sermon. At least that's what I'd like it to be. So, pull up a chair. Let's get into that. If you have a hard time finding your chair, it's probably under one of those Amazon boxes that have been piling up in the garage. I think a lot of this demands answering the question of, was there a better time for the United States of America? Why are there so many people talking about making America great again? What does that even mean? Before I go any further, I know that me simply uttering that combination of words, make America great again, has probably caused you to tune absolutely out, to hit pause, or to delete the app, or delete the show, or whatever. And if that's you, oh well. But as I think about it, if you are somebody who is going to tune out because you heard the phrase, make America great again, I probably am not losing you. I probably never had you in the first place, because how could somebody lose something that they never possessed? Let me ask you this. And I agree, by the way, that MAGA is a pretty hot little acronym. It's pretty triggering. It puts the hair on the back of your neck. It gives you sort of the goose flesh. It is a lightning rod. There's no question about that. But what do you think? Do you think that Detroit, Michigan in the 1950s was better then than it is today? What about Los Angeles in the 70s? Was that better in the 70s than it is today? What about Baltimore, Chicago, Philadelphia? Pretty much all of our cities, were they better 40 years ago than they are today? 40 years ago wasn't really that long ago, was it? It was like 1985? Is that right? Could that be possible? Were those cities better then than they are today? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. You get the idea. You get what I'm driving at. I don't know. I don't think that going to Detroit in 1970 would be more dangerous than it is today. I think that it'd be a happier place. I think we can all agree on that. But let's talk about first principles. Let's talk about first principles. First principles are the most basic foundational truths of a subject. They are ideas that cannot be broken down any further. They are the building blocks, the foundational, fundamental building blocks on which everything else rests. And today's topic, today's letter, is building a high trust, or being a high trust, high functioning society. So, fellow citizen, what are those first principles? And maybe you know, maybe you don't, maybe you've never thought about it, maybe it's going to seem obvious, maybe the light bulb will turn on, but they're true. First principles, these are what Elon Musk uses to totally revolutionize an industry or to create a new category, if you're going to build a rocket company, if you're going to build a new satellite internet company, if you're going to build a car company, if you're going to dig holes under cities, if you're going to do Neuralink, what is true? What are the foundational fundamental building blocks that must be there that everything else is standing on? And I think that the first one is, again, if we are to return to a high trust, highly functioning society, what do we all need to embrace? Number one is human dignity and the inherent worth of every human being. Once upon a time, we all agreed that every person possessed intrinsic value. Now it's more of an algorithm thing. These days, a stranger's value is measured in likes, a neighbor's in the yard signs that they have up, and our own value is whatever number appears next to our follower count. That's who we elevate in our society. So when dignity becomes a popularity contest, we shouldn't be surprised when empathy polls in the single digits. First principle number two, brothers and sisters, is that of reciprocity. The golden rule. The golden rule. I think it's a pretty simple bargain that we enter into. I'll treat you fairly today so that you'll treat me fairly tomorrow. Can we agree to do that? But fairness is pretty tedious and we're all really busy. We prefer the flash sale of outrage, one-day shipping on vengeance, and free returns on civility. We forget that society is not a marketplace of feelings. It is not a marketplace of feelings or vibes. It's a long-term contract of mutual restraint, and the fine print is written in our daily behavior. Being kind, extending grace, those things. First principle number three, truthfulness and transparency. Remember telling the truth? Remember demanding the truth? Remember respecting the truth? Once upon a time, we built libraries and laboratories to protect the truth. Now, we build filters and feed curators to protect our feelings. We insulate ourselves from the truth with our truth. That's not good. Facts are optional. Vibes, those are mandatory. We distrust every institution while begging those same institutions to fix it all. It's hard to share a republic when we can't even share a reality. I might say, go so far as to say, it is impossible to share a republic, to share our country, when we cannot even share a reality. First principle number four, rule of law and impartial justice. We used to brag that no one was above the law. Today, we brag about who can hire the better attorney. Justice, we were told, is blind. Now she just kind of squints, turns her head at the polling data. So when rules become suggestions, trust becomes nostalgia. First principle number five, property, agency, voluntary exchange. The founders of our great country, be they imperfect, believe that free people owning their work and trading by choice would prosper. They were right. You and I believe that free shipping is a constitutional right. We finance independence on credit, and then we demand bailouts when the bill arrives. Freedom without responsibility is just a clearance sale on chaos, friends. Number six, shared narrative and cultural memory. Our civilization, our nation, is a story that we agreed to tell together. Today, right now, the chapters arrive in competing streams, each one convinced the others are fake. Fake news, cheap fakes. We no longer debate the moral of the story, we debate whether the story even exists. Without shared narrative, strangers remain strangers. And the only holiday that we Americans are celebrating together is Black Friday. Number 7, distributed power and accountability. Once upon a time, checks and balances kept ambition honest. Today, we call it gridlock. Swipe past it. We demand leaders with absolute authority, provided they use it only against the people we don't like. Then we wonder why every election feels like it's an absolute hostage negotiation and the end of all of it. Number 8, competence and contribution. We have decided to reward celebrity over skill, virality over virtue. Our most visible professions are influencer, pundit, and professional victim. Meanwhile, infrastructure and bridges rust, classrooms remain empty, and we complain that nothing works while voting for whoever has the catchiest meme. It's the most popular viral. Number 9, civic virtue and responsibility. This whole deal survives only if citizens self-govern. And right now we're treating self-governance like a gym membership. It's great in theory. We feel good about the idea of it, but we don't use it. We outsource virtue to nonprofits, pay taxes as a penance, and wonder why our communities feel like strip malls with nostalgia. Number 10, our capacity for renewal. One of the really brilliant, genius, important, wonderful things about America is peaceful self-correction. But that correction requires courage. And courage is, was, and always will be an uncomfortable thing. What we've decided to do instead is turn discomfort into a civil rights violation. We confuse criticism with cruelty and growth with trauma. When the smallest friction is labeled harm, even the democracy itself feels unsafe. Brothers and sisters, fellow Americans, citizens, none of this is fatal yet. High trust is not magic. It is maintenance. It's the boring heroism of paying your bills, telling the truth when it costs you, and showing up when nobody is watching. It's neighbors solving problems before they reach the Capitol. It's parents teaching children that character matters more than Wi-Fi speed. Your founders bet the farm that ordinary people could govern themselves. 2 centuries later, we treat governance like a subscription service. Cancel anytime, no late fees, customer support available only during election years. So here's what I propose. Put down the outrage. Call a neighbor instead of posting about one. Read something older than just whatever is on your Twitter feed. Pay the bill for the society you keep ordering from the menu. Truth, reciprocity, and civic virtue are not retro accessories. They are the operating system. Without them, the hardware, you know, the roads, the rights, the republic will fail. America does not need more saviors. It needs grown-ups, starting with the one hearing these words. One last thing. God-given rights are just that. They were given to us from God, not from an elected official, not from some fucking politician or anybody like that. You're in charge. God gave you the ability to govern yourself, to pursue happiness. Treat that as the gift that it is. Embrace it. Lean into it. Look around. Look forward where responsibility has been abdicated, because it's everywhere. Pick up the heaviest thing that you can. Carry it where it needs to go. Own it. Accept responsibility. With weary affection and stubborn hope, fellow citizen. as always, brothers and sisters, do your part by doing your best.